Big oof, it's Pokey Sports time. Hello, welcome to Pokey Sports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike, and I'm...
not holding back!
I'm Kevin, I wish I didn't have to work this weekend.
So do I. I wish you didn't have to work this weekend too, Kevin. It's welcome to Pokey Sports. It's a competitive Pokemon podcast. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited for this week because it's going to be a fun time for me because I get to travel to where Kevin is, but Kevin won't be there, and I'm sad about that.
Kevin will be there for as long as he can.
Kevin will be there for as long as he can, and then, oops, didn't show up to work. Oops.
Oh, no. I contracted an illness on the exact same day that you denied me off. What a coincidence.
There are a very small amount of people who would notice or care. Right?
I think they'd notice and they would care.
Dang it. Okay, fine.
Because I'm the only one that can do my job. Honestly, if I had any other department or had any other job, I'd just be like, yes, sorry. Too bad.
Yeah, this weekend I'm going to be spending my time in New York, going to a Beast Coast event, which we'll be talking about a little bit later in the pod. But first, I want to talk about a tweet that you made yesterday, Kevin.
I do that?
Oh, you tweet sometimes. Ooh. You tweet sometimes. Sometimes you run your tweets by me, and it's you don't have to do that. I'm happy when you do. I'm happy when you
only
don't.
The questionable ones I will run by you. I'm like, will this cancel me? Here, Mike, let me know.
Does it pass the mic check? You wrote this one, and I just, for the people who read it and didn't understand what it meant, and moved on with their day. Like me, I would like you to clarify what this means.
I don't even know what it is.
I got you. Don't worry. It says people speculating the Kitakami prologue is Reg E, but it doesn't make sense to have an online battle tour take place the exact same time the rank ladder changes and then having two separate locations for the same format unless... See, to me, that was a very long sentence. Yes. And I don't know all of what that means. I know what the Kitakami prologue is. I know what Reg E is. Meanwhile, I guess, explain both of those things and then explain what the tweet meant.
Okay, so the running joke is that technically Reg E was never formally announced because it isn't. It wasn't, and it still is unknown what it technically is. Because typically, when you have regulation that is coming out on said date, you would know what that regulation is a month prior.
Okay.
The only thing they let us know for Reg E is that they are including the Kitakami Dex and banning some Pokemon. So we technically still don't know the format because that doesn't answer that many questions. One, who are those Pokemon? Two, okay, Kitakami Dex, fine. Does that include Ursaluna forms? Does that include Legends? Does that include, like, what are we going at here? What is Ogerpon even considered? Is this a restricted? Is this a legend? No idea. And then they throw another curveball at us. They're like, hey, Reg D, we're going to put the new guys there, but not all of them. It's a very confusing space in the competitive Pokemon world. And on top of that, they just really announced the format today that is going to be played on, I believe, October 2nd. Yeah, October 2nd. The Kitakami Prologue, which is doubles battle online, no CP reward, but only includes the Kitakami Dex. Nothing else. So that means you can't use Flutterman, you can't use Urshifu, for example, because they're not in the Kitakami decks, but you can use things like Ogerpon, Fezzendipity, etc.
By the way, I'm really excited for that one. I think that one's going to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The signups begin on October 1st at 5 p.m. PDT, and that runs from October 5th from 5 p.m. to Sunday. That's Thursday, October 5th, to Sunday, October 8th at 5 p.m. PDT.
So a lot of people are saying, like, what if this is Reggie? What if this is Reggie? Oh, no this chance. Is going to be Reggie. That tweet was to say no chance. Because
yeah, no chance. Got
why
it.
Would they have two separate things that are identical in two different places?
Right.
Why would you have a Reggie ladder that is the same thing as an online tournament that you're currently hosting?
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It runs during Regulation E. Yeah. So why would they run the tournament that is the exact same format as the regulation that's currently going
on? If this tournament was run in September, okay, fine. Now you can have speculation time. Like, go ahead, have your speculation time.
Right. And but then yeah. you bring it out for a whole month and it's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, interesting. I think the Kitakami Prologue is going to be a very interesting competition. But I want to get into that in a second, because this tweet,
I just said unless to incite people. I'm like, let me cause chaos.
Right.
Get people arguing.
Yeah. Then some people were commenting like, what does that mean? And I was that person. I was Alex used splash on that one. I was like, what does this mean?
Brooke Pokey. PKMNBB saying, what's yeah. he cooking?
What's he cooking? Yeah, I'm very curious on the Regulation E Pokemon are not allowed. The safe choice and the pretty obvious choice restricted. Is that it's like your restricteds aren't in there. Your Iron Leaves, your Roaring, your Walking Wake.
But then what's Ogerpon considered? I think it's common knowledge it's not restricted
mm-hmm.
because its stats don't mimic a restricted Pokemon, right? It's only 530. That's a legend.
No, it's none of these Pokemon that were released here are legends. The Walking Wake and Iron Leaves, technically, I don't consider legends. The reason that I think they've been walled for so long and will continue to be walled is because they're not easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
They're... in fact, inaccessible right now to people who have just picked up the game for Teal Mask. So there is that. But I mean, Ogerpon is fine. The Loyal Trio are fine. That you can bring them in, you can use them. I think that's going to keep that theme. But what could be interesting if they say certain Pokemon aren't allowed and they're making changes like this, they could go back and be like, no Ruinous, mm. no Paradox, just for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just, they're making us wait very long, but I guess it's just kind of a wait and see situation. Mm-hmm. The only like thing that kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth is that we still have no official confirmation of the format. And right. Peoria is less than 2 weeks away.
Right.
And that's going to be played in Reggie.
Peoria regionals are running from, is that October 7th and 8th?
Yeah, that weekend.
Yeah. Weekend of October 7th and 8th. That's less than a week after the regulation will have officially dropped. Hopefully what will happen by the time this podcast comes out is sometimes what has happened is the regulation information drops early,
mm-hmm.
A little bit early. So that people have at least a little bit of time to prepare.
This is zero preparation time.
This is zero prep time.
It currently is zero preparation time, and we are still unaware of what it is and counting. And at this point, we're probably not going to be aware until October 1st.
Sure.
And they're like, okay, I get it now.
I think people have like a pretty good guess, though. If Pokemon comes out and makes like a complete, you know, 90 degree turn into a completely different set of Pokemon, then I mm-hmm. think people are going to be rightfully miffed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest one that they're concerned about is Ogerpon and like Blood Moon, for example, because there are situations where like Blood Moon isn't allowed in like Reg D.5 at all.
Right.
So it's like, where is the line drawn here? So who knows?
We will see. Okay. Yes, I am. I'm excited about Regulation E, whatever it's going to be. I think that it's an interesting meta, more interesting than Regulation D, regardless of what actually turns out. Yeah.
You played with Ogerpon a little bit more today.
Yes.
How was your experience with Ogerpon so far?
Oh,
I know
my
I kind of took over the Ogerpon videos, and I'm sorry, but Ogerpon is
okay.
A dumb Pokemon.
I love Ogerpon. I think that Ivy Cudgel is... the silly. Most broken move that has so come out in the past.
Stupid.
To give a little bit of background before we talk about the Patreon, The team that I'm using on the Patreon includes an Ogerpon with a Hearthflame mask, and dropping a sunny day with your Ivy Cudgel is just nuts.
That is nasty.
Nuts.
You fire tearing on top of that.
You embody aspect. You get the plus one on the attack. You hit the Ivy Cudgel. You're hitting with like what times two stab on that. You have 100 power on that to base. You multiply that by two. You have 200 power. You have your
sun up
plus 50% attack for 300 power. Then you have the sun
600 up for power.
Yeah. Well, does it double? I thought it does. Oh my gosh, it doubles.
And then you have to include the mask boost too. You get 1.2 times for having the mask item.
Yeah, right. So now we're at 720 power. And it has a high chance to crit. Like, it has as much power as Zacian has base stats.
They made Zacian again.
They
did it.
They put it in Kaido's hammer. Like, that's what they did.
It's interesting, though, that they made this Pokemon. It kind of feels like Mega Evolution, but not.
Yes.
That's what it feels like to me, at least. It's like, oh, this is kind of like Megas again. And I like that. It's like, okay, you get to change your typing. You get to be bigger. You get to do more damage. But you don't get the HP double. I guess Megas weren't HP double, but they were stat changes. You delete the stat changes. So it's like a watered down version of Megas that I think I'm kind of okay with.
I'm super okay with that. And you posted something earlier this week that really got me thinking.
I don't know where that came from. That just like pumped into my brain. I know where it came from. Uh-huh. I'm replaying the game on my Australian copy so that I can do the ranked ladder for the Patreon. So I was running through the game to get more music because that's all I care about, apparently. And I was going through the Team Star battles. And I'm like, oh, yeah, these things exist. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is technically a terraform of Revavroom, isn't it?
So what Kevin's talking about is at the end of all of the Team Star gauntlets, you face that big Revavroom, the Revavroom that's been retrofitted onto a onto a giant sound system and monster truck. And there are five different types, right? There's dark, fire, poison, fairy, fighting, all depending on you know, which person you're fighting. And they all have different abilities. The dark one has intimidate, fire has speed boost, poison, toxic debris, fairy, misty surge, fighting has stamina. And like their stats are ludicrous.
I went into the rabbit hole and I was like, wait, these things have stats.
Yeah.
They're coded in the game.
Their stats are insane. Like they're really something crazy.
I think the Calf Star Mobile, the fighting type, is actually ridiculous because this Pokemon also gets like body press as an option.
Right.
So base 131 speed with 120 defense. And base HP of 408. This is base. No,
you need to emphasize that one way more than you just did.
This is base HP. 408. Yeah. You go over 1,000 easily. You might even crack two at max HP.
I love that. I think that having a Revavroom that can terrestrialize into a different, like any one of these five, and just get the full like big monster truck to it. I think that's really sick. I think that's really cool. Now, the thing that I noticed though was that, you know, it's just the HP stat that gets nuts. Like you can make that the normal Revavroom, or maybe the normal Revavroom, and it'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Or just like choose one of these stat lines, maybe the poison one, lower the HP a little bit, and then you have like a decently usable Pokemon.
Actually
the fairy one.
I honestly think that if they rework the number, because like you can't actually release a 408 base HP Pokemon with 120 defense into the game with 131 speed, you would break the game. But if Game Freak honestly took the time to rework the stats for competitive, I think these will actually be kind of usable Pokemon.
Incredible!
They would.
And like, hear me out. Like, the models are done, guys.
Yeah.
I'd buy it. Like, I'd be okay with this.
Give me the Revavroom DLC and I'll give you the $35. Like, it's fine. I love the abilities on these two. If you could change the abilities like you do with Nogrepan into like toxic debris when you go and terastalize, into Misty Surge. Misty Surge on terastalization would be insane.
Yeah, you get to override any other terrain that's already on the field too.
You get
the final say on terrain.
You get the final say on terrain. That's incredible. Wow. Plus having they would probably need to rework some of the moves as well, just to make sure that, you know, you get a dark, a fire, a poison, a fairy, a fighting move on the Revavroom kit.
Give me Ivy Engine. We'll be fine. Ooh. Everyone gets Ivy Engine.
Yeah. Yeah. Just another better Terra Blast like they did with Ivy Cudgel.
Make it crit.
Because that's all it is, right? Ivy Cudgel is just a better Terra Blast.
Pretty much, yeah.
20 more power, only physical, but crits more. Like, crazy.
Perfect.
It's great. Perfect. They made the perfect Pokemon. They didn't make the perfect Pokemon. I don't think Ogrepan is the perfect Pokemon, but
I think the meta's young. Yeah.
The meta's young. But I do think they made a very interesting way to play on their existing mechanic.
Mm-hmm. They added a new dimension to it. Absolutely. They did,
yes.
And this also just brings questions to what the heck is the 19th Terra type going to be? Because a lot of people, because remember, there's still a 19th Terra type that we don't know about. A lot of people just assumed that, this new Terra form is going to be the 19th Terra type. It doesn't seem that way anymore. This kind of just seems like an Ogrepan thing that Ogrepan does. So we'll see what the 19th Terra type even is.
You're right. You're right.
That's going to be like probably just a Terapagos thing.
With Teal Mask Ogrepan, your Terra type is always grass, correct?
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay, so there is a little bit of an exploit going around that I guess I should mention. If you gen an Ogrepan and change the Terra type to anything else other than grass, you can actually force the game on a ranked ladder into a freeze. Nothing will progress.
No.
Yeah. So be careful of that online.
You might be facing people who might mess that up for you.
Yeah. It can only be grass. You can't change the Terra type from it.
Interesting. Interesting. Because I was going to say, like, with the 19th Terra type there, again, yeah, like you said, everybody thought that attached itself to Ogrepan in some way. And, like, the mask expanding like it did in the trailer had something to do with that. But no.
Yeah.
This is just what Ogrepan does when it Terra's grass. Every other Pokemon that can get this 19th Terra type, I still think is going to be some kind of filter.
I think it's going to be like a mega thing. I think it's going to be like this, but different. I don't know. Maybe we're going to have different variants. The thing is, like, I would have assumed the Blood Moon would have been a Terra type at this point. I didn't expect them to give like a whole different form to Ursaluna. If they gave Ursaluna like, I don't know, a dark form, and that dark Terra type form turned into Blood Moon, I could see that. Like, a specific Terra type will change your form. But they didn't go that route. They just were like, hey, screw it. We're just going to make a new Ursaluna form. No questions asked. Oh, we can't find it anywhere. Can't find anywhere meaningful to put it in the game. Yeah, just give it to that photographer lady. Yeah, she'll be great. We'll put it there. Yeah, Timeless Forest. It's really convenient.
Yeah. Put it in the that corner of the map that you couldn't really think of what to do with? Just, that's what it is now.
Adamant's ancestor, though, so I guess that makes a little bit of sense. Did you notice that? That the photographer is from, what's that game called? Legends Arceus? Adamant is her ancestor.
Oh.
The leader of the Diamond Clan. You'll know it when you see him.
Interesting. Yeah, totally.
That's how she's like has some sort of connection to Ursaluna, because Ursaluna comes from Hisui.
Oh, wow. They have like the same kind of
everything
detail. Oh, that's wild.
She even has a diamond on her pants. If you look at her butt, people online have done.
People have done that. Absolutely. I'm not going to say I have. I haven't. I'm a happily almost married man. Why would I?
And this is a 3D model in a child video game. Revavroom. Right. Yeah, it'd be cool.
Is funny. Revavroom is the funny Pokemon, and I think that it could be used really cool if they did that. I think they could have done the same kind of thing with Cyclizar. They haven't fully embraced the whole.
They haven't answered that question.
Koridon, Miraidon thing yet. They haven't done it. They've barely addressed that Pokemon in and of itself.
They were like, oh, clearly this is related somehow.
Yeah.
That's it. One's are restricted, though.
They've mentioned it in the game.
Oh, this kind of looks like Cyclizar, huh?
Yeah.
It's almost like the Diancie Carbink debacle, where it's like they're related, but not really. But clearly they're related.
They're related, and you're going to have to watch the show to like see any kind of relation between them. But if you want there to be a relationship in the game, you're not going to find one.
No.
Good luck. Cause like, yeah, you can look at, there's so much lore built into Carbink and Diancie. Mm-hmm. There's like their typing, there's their descriptions, there's their moves.
Pool. Yeah.
Their move pool like feeds into each other. If you like really look close between the two of them. But they never address it in the story because Diancie is not a core part of the story necessarily.
They even release at the exact same time. Like when Diancie enters the game, Carbink is also in that same dex, and it has been that way ever since. It was like that in Sword and Shield and also like with Home. It's funny.
They're doing something. They're cooking. They have a story ready. They have a story ready. And you know where I think it's going to show up?
Nowhere.
In a Legends game. I think it's going to show up in a Legends game. Yeah.
Legends Diancie?
Diancie was in...
Six.
Kalos. Six. Generation six. So, yeah. In Kalos.
It got a mega form, so it can't... Yeah. You remember that Diancie got a mega form? I almost forgot that until right
barely
now.
Barely remembered that. I think if we get a Legends Kalos... which might make sense if we have all of this like mega evolution parallels going on right now, Legends of Area Zero or whatever, Hidden Treasure of Area Zero. There's all these parallels that they're drawing to mega evolution and
Terastalform,
all
Ogre
that
Pond.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like, it wouldn't surprise me if they decided to go in that direction.
You see the subtle hint they gave at Unova. In the DLC, right when you start off, it's like, oh yeah, Blueberry Academy's in Unova.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, we're technically gonna go to Unova with the Blueberry Academy. I mean, I don't know how far into Unova we'll get, probably not very far, but it's in the region. So that's just a subtle hint of saying, you know what's coming next, guys. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that 5 comes after 4. And we got Diamond and Pearl recently. Recently enough.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. It would be kind of cool to see Ilka. It was Ilka? Who made BDSP? Go make Black and White. Because Black and White, I know that, I think for you, you said that it wasn't your favorite.
It was okay. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. A lot of people like praised it as the best Pokemon game to ever exist. I don't know. I don't know if it's the best. It's definitely good.
I think BDSP, not BDSP, wow. I think the Black and White was, sorry, Freudian slip. I think Black and White was my favorite in terms of story. It was the first time that I ever like truly appreciated a Pokemon story.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I was just too young to appreciate it. I might have to replay it. It's been a while.
X and Y had a really solid story too.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to PokeSports, a competitive story time podcast.
Black 2 and White. Like, I could actually just whip out a DS and play them.
Sure.
I probably won't. I don't have time. But it's there.
Too tired. You're too tired to do it.
It is 1 a.m. when we're recording this.
It's always 1 a.m. when we're recording this. Dude, we...
Inside baseball, we're here.
There's no way that we're ever gonna have a good recording time ever again.
You remember not when this the, used to be at 9? We used to record this at 9. Get to bed by 11. It'd be so great.
Yeah. Right?
What happened?
I used to finish recording the podcast. I'd hop out of this room and I see my partner sitting there on the couch watching TV. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'll join you. I'll join you for a little bit. And then I'd sit down. We'd watch some TV, have a nice little night. And we'd go to bed at a decent time.
Now Mike has to drive home after this recording. Yeah.
Now, not only do we record this at 1, sometimes we record this the morning before it releases. And then I edit it. And then I upload it. And then I drive back home.
Not holding back!
So, anyway, that's that. Kevin, you just recently did a tournament.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
It was... It was a Nino Poke Bros Regulation E tournament, I guess, presumably Regulation E tournament. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. I went in not with a lot of Regulation E practice because, of course, we are playing Regulation E stuff on YouTube. A lot of it is on casual ladder. A lot of the teams we're going up against are just Regulation D teams or just not concrete Regulation E teams, or they just have a Mewtwo and a Mew on it. So... It's not like really good practice. So I guess this was my first experience actually practicing Regulation E. And without spoiling too much, because this is like a Patreon thing that we have going on. I posted all those battle videos on Patreon.
Sure.
It was an experience. I learned a lot. I didn't win as much as I'd like to. Of course, I usually like to win twice as much as I lose.
Sure.
But I feel like a lot of the losses were really eye-opening to me. I was playing like a Blood Moon team, kind of Trick Room, kind of not. I realized that I absolutely hate Sinistro with a burning passion, and I might add it to my team because it's just so silly having a Trick Room setter that can't be spored, that you can stick Mental Herb on it, that can't be fake outed, so you can't taunt it, you can't spore it, you can't fake it out, and it will live and heal up all of its health while simultaneously healing up your allies at the same time.
I think Sinistra is such a good Pokemon for all of those reasons that you said, but also because it is meta defining because you right now see so many Amoonguses all over the place. And this is honestly giving people a reason to not bring Amoonguss on their team.
Amoonguss can't set Trick Room.
But if they don't, then all of the people who don't bring Sinistra, you know, they can just run shop again. Yeah, but Amoonguss is so threatened out of the meta that the rest of the Pokemon are kind of allowed back in.
Yeah, Reg E is a little rough for Amoonguss if you think about it, because like, look at all the grass types we got. We got Grassy Glad back on Rilla, so Rilla's a Pokemon again. We have Sinistra, we have Ogre Pond, all of the forms of Ogre Pond.
Yep.
Like, do we still got to use Amoonguss? Because I don't think we do. We got so many other options.
Well, if you don't Terastalize Ogre Pond, then, you know, you still have the grass type. But even if you do... Like Ivy Cudgel, just one smack from a Hearth Flame just destroys Amoonguss like completely. And even if
Amoonguss wants to Water Terror, you still get stab on your wood hammers.
Sure, sure. You still have your wood hammer on you, exactly. Okay, so the tournament was a good experience for you?
Yeah, it was fine. I still ended up winning more than I lost, so that's always nice.
It's interesting when you say winning twice as much as you lose, because you put that into like a regional setting, and that's going 6-3, and you do that often.
I do that too often. I only do that. Maybe I need to practice doing better than that.
I think you might be aiming a little too low, because it sounds good in theory. That sounds great, like win twice as much as you lose. Oh man, I'm really good. No, you're really going for like an 80% win rate here if you're trying to top cut.
Yeah, finish a tournament second day.
Mm-hmm. I think that is my benchmark, my next benchmark for day two. Regional tournaments. Yeah, is hitting a day two.
Not being able to party the day before? That's what you're...
No, I'm still going to party.
Because your goal isn't to actually win. It's to get day two and then see what happens.
Sure. No, I try to enjoy my time as much as possible, but I think in order to actually do that, I just need to practice more. I need more prep time. And thankfully, we have kind of built that into PokeSports now with the best segue in the world, our new patron tier. On patreon.com/PokeSports, now you can go and join our newest tier, our highest tier so far. That is, I believe we call it the ranked tier. Thank you. In that tier, we have been, over the course of our YouTube channel, focusing very hard on the Pokemon that live outside of the meta. Pokemon that, you know, need a little bit of a spotlight, need a little bit of a push into the current day. And sometimes that means that they're not the high meta Pokemon. Sometimes that means that they're very niche. They work here, but they don't work there, or they just haven't been worked in yet. On the Patreon, we are fully going for Pokemon and teams and methods that will get us the most wins and experience. Not necessarily always, you know, the same super meta Pokemon, but Pokemon that we resonate with, not just Pokemon that the community has gone and shared.
Pokemon that won't get as many clicks, but will get more results, pretty much, is what that means. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm excited for it because we're doing this on fresh carts too. So you get to sit with us through our journey as we, like, you know, literally, I think we're going to be starting from Pokeball all the way to Master and then seeing how far we can get to Master.
I will be starting Regulation E. Yeah. Right now, Regulation D is kind of a wash. But yeah, once this Regulation E hits, I'm on a new cartridge. I'm doing it completely from scratch.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what we have cooked up. How, I mean, I'm doing this also as like a personal opinion, because like I could play a lot of Showdown games and see how far I can get on Showdown, but is that really saying much versus how far you can get on Ladder, when Ladder is more global than Showdown is? I think, like, how far can you actually do on the ranked ladder?
Oh, that's interesting that you say that. I, because yeah, there's the whole, like, do you want to play games super fast, or do you want to play games on the actual place where you're going to be playing games in real life? I think the speed of which those games happen, it's important to kind of play that on the place that it'll actually happen in competition.
Yeah. And I think also just like playing against other countries, Japanese players, a lot of, Asian players don't actually have access to Showdown or don't play Showdown.
Yeah.
So just being able to play against them is really good practice too, because their meta is crazy sometimes.
So yeah, I'm excited to go and share this tier. It operates a little different from our YouTube channel as well, where in the YouTube channel, we kind of show like the best moments of using those teams, where even though we do lose sometimes on the channel, we show the losses that are meaningful, the losses that are interesting, that highlight the team that we're showing off. On the Patreon, it's completely all of the battles that we go into are intentional. They're all like, we're going into this to learn how to use our teams, and win or lose, those battles go up.
You will see our win loss in real time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You'll see our win loss. You'll see our statistics and our rank.
Also, the rental codes are going to be Patreon exclusive as well for those highly competitive teams that we were mentioning. And those teams will get changed. It'll be minor changes. Like, okay, for example, during the Neo Poke Bros tournament, I had an Icicle Crash Chen Pao. First turn, I use Icicle Trash. I guess I should call it Icicle Trash. First turn, I use Icicle Trash. I miss it. I'm like, okay, maybe this is going to be Ice Spinner in the rental code. I'll be real, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like the first thing I changed was just that Chen Pao set right away. And it's going to change a lot in real time.
I do think Ice Spinner is more relevant now.
I think the reason why Icicle Crash picked up in popularity the time I made the rentals, because most Fluttermanes calc for Ice Spinner, but they won't calc for Icicle Crash. So you can catch Fluttermanes off guard and one-shot them. But plus, you can also miss.
Plus two, now there's a bigger surge in Rillaboom usage now that it has Grassy Glide again. So there's more of a reason to bring Ice Spinner to get rid of grassy terrain. But yeah, anyway, so if you want to go and check out that new tier, that's going to be at patreon.com/pokesports. Thanks for listening to us chat about that for a little bit. Let's get back to our regularly scheduled podcast here.
Fun fact, you remember Trick Room and Didi and how that was a clear mistake that they made and they weren't supposed to go with that at all? And Didi can now learn Trick Room through a TM thanks to the DLC. So they're sticking with it.
Isn't that something? And maybe that was always intentional. Maybe that was a retrofitted solution.
No.
No.
Disagree.
Definitely was not, huh?
Well, I mean, it couldn't learn it in a TM before until the DLC, and now you could just have a female and Didi learn it through the TM.
I am curious how many people have signed up for Toronto Regional so far. 560 people so far signed up for Toronto Regional.
Which means there's still space, guys. Hurry up. We'll be there.
Yep. There are 300 spots left for Toronto Regionals. First of all, that was more than what I expected when it first dropped. When it first dropped, there were only like 400 or something.
Yeah, you were making a bet with Pierre that you were around 400.
I was pretty confident that Toronto Regional wouldn't see nearly as many players because it's in Canada and a lot of people could just kind of get their world's invite through US stuff and then worry about their passport if they actually win it. But
ironically, this is the closest one to me this year, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, right?
Wild.
Yeah. How are you planning on getting here?
Still don't know.
Oh.
I have the I don't know. Flights actually aren't that bad from New York to Toronto is what I've realized. I was looking at flights in like months ago and they were around like $200. And then I'm looking at flights now. I'm like, oh, they're still just $200. So I guess they don't change much.
They are pretty
cheap. Yeah, I might just fly because I could drive 8 hours, but then I would have to drive 8 hours. And my car's from 2011.
So it only has a certain amount of 8 hour drives left.
We're not driving 8 hours.
No. No, no, no. That car isn't making it for the next 8 hours.
I'm more worried about what color am I wearing to your wedding than I am the regional, man.
What color do you think you're going to wear to my wedding, man?
I'm considering salmon.
Ooh. Okay.
Salmon guy. I'm probably going to rent a suit too because I don't feel like I don't fit in my real estate suits anymore. I have outgrown them.
I thought you'd been working out.
Yeah. I'm having sushi for lunch tomorrow.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're making a sushi. Well, that's cool. A nice little salmon suit. That's that'll gel well with my earthy tones that I'm going with.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm going green, baby.
Oh, that's fancy.
Yeah. All right.
It's so easy for guys.
Yeah, truly.
We just wear black and then just change our tie. Problem solved.
Joanna has been going through alterations and getting all these different accessories. And for me, like I've got my suit. I went to a place one time and they're like, hey, stand.
Let's measure you.
Stand for a bit. They measured me. All right, your suit's going to be ready in 3 weeks. And I said, okay. And I went and I got a burrito. And that was my afternoon.
Your wedding is stressing me out.
I'm so sorry.
Because it's just like, I'm going to have to do this eventually, huh?
But actually, yeah.
It's okay. How old are you compared to me? Just like 2 or 3 years? How long 32. I have left?
32.
Okay. I have 4 years left. I got
4 years. Yeah, you can catch up. You're good. You got this. All right. Let's talk about the next couple of regionals that we've got going on. We've got four regionals coming up, three of which are in North America. We've got Peoria Regional, which we've talked a little bit about, October 7th and 8th. That is, where is Peoria?
Illinois. Same state as Chicago. In case you wanted reference for a Canadian.
In case I wanted to take another 8 hour drive. No, I don't. That's actually the answer.
Detective Pikachu's coming out in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Do we need to switch this into a Detective Pikachu podcast?
No, sorry. I just thought about it.
Detective Pikachu 2 release date is October 6th. What?
It's coming out like next week.
Yeah. That's the day before Peoria.
I feel like we don't know enough about this game for it to be coming out in a week.
They don't need to tell you anything about this, okay, man.
At least I'll have something to do before. They have to stop releasing games before regionals, man.
Are you going to Peoria?
No, I'm not going to Peoria. But I'm going to Toronto, which is not too long after Peoria.
Right. So we've got Peoria 7th to 8th. Sacramento is the next one after that. That's October 14th and 15th, which is interesting.
California.
Because that's exactly a week after Peoria.
It's a week, Mike's wedding, a week.
Yeah, that is how the circuit
they stopped
went.
For your wedding, Mike. They
Thank you. Maybe I booked it around that, you know? Maybe I thought I was going to go to all of these and I was like, oh, I got to book this wedding in between circuit pieces. But yeah, that's in San Francisco, Sacramento. Right? Is that what that is?
Sacramento, California. San Francisco is also a city in California.
Oh, okay.
Canada.
I'm the Canadian, man. Yeah, it's fine. And actually, that's not true, because the week after, the 21st and 22nd weekend of my wedding, is Lille Regional.
That's in another continent.
Yeah, that's in France.
Yeah, that's over
it's
there.
In France.
That's across the pond.
I'm interested to see how many people join in on that one, because that's 760 capacity, 640 masters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Can you imagine 640 people flying to France?
Well, I'm assuming that people live in France already.
I mean, some people maybe.
But I don't know, actually. I think the European scene is actually very in Pokemon. Like, they will country hop, because apparently it's very easy if you're in the European Union to just like country hop to another European country.
This is true. I mean, time will tell, because that, like, same can be said about the US and people in it, like hopping from state to state. I think that's pretty similar of a comparison.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And then after that is, of course, Toronto from October 28th to 29th. So this month of October has every single weekend taken up by regionals.
Okay, well, we got something to watch on the weekends.
We got something to watch every single
week. We got a
weekend.
Podcast topic every week this week.
That's content. I'm so glad Pokey Sports gets to live for another month at least. Thank you. I need
What's
that.
What's the one in December?
The one in December, we're talking San Antonio.
Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what week in December?
That's December 16th and 17th.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that's happening in November looks like LAIC. That's November 17th and 19th.
Okay. So middle of November.
Right.
Oh, so I guess November Pokemon decided to take off. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, also you've got Brisbane, November 25th and 26th, but that's, again, Oceania. So
that's
way far away.
Giving.
Well, for you.
Excuse me, Canadian.
Oh, actually, November 25th, 26th is also Gdansk.
Gdansk. That's exactly how you pronounce it.
Is it?
Nope.
Okay.
That's how we're pronouncing it, though.
I do not know. It might be Dansk. Dansk. Dansk.
Also, fun fact, there's a Pokemon Home update, small maintenance, September 27th from 0 UTC to 6 UTC. Maybe that's when we learn what the regulation E rules are.
But yeah, right?
Yeah, I think so, because they always post them on Home.
They do. They certainly do. Hey, there was this, let's make this be the last thing we talk about today. There was a combo that our buddy Foo at Foo Foo 2 on YouTube went and showcased.
Sam.
Are you aware of what this combo is?
No, let me know.
This combo involves an Okidogi and a Weirdeer.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, you see where this is going. So Guard Dog and Skill Swap are the two abilities in question here. Guard Dog being very interesting in that I believe the first effect is that it can't be taunted.
You can't be forced out.
You can't be forced out. That's it. Yeah. Yes, you can be taunted, but you can't be forced out. The taunt thing doesn't matter anyway, because you'll see. But the more important part is that when you're intimidated, your attack, instead of going down, will go up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be intimidated. You're going to be intimidated. You're going to get angry. That's what Okidogi is all about. And also, I think Mabostiff has Guard Dog.
Yeah, those are the only two.
Yeah. Weirdeer is an interesting Pokemon because it gets Skill Swap and it also has Intimidate itself. It's a scary looking deer. So if you get to a point where you are able to have Okidogi out and you have a Weirdeer out and you can Skill Swap your own Intimidate onto a enemy Pokemon,
mm-hmm.
it will intimidate your Guard Dog Okidogi, upping its attack. And you can just keep on bouncing that skill swap over and over and over.
And if they're physical attackers, you already lower their attack initially. So right. It's just the best of both worlds here.
That's right.
And also, we got two new competitive users to try this out with. So this was a thing in Regulation D in the mm-hmm. beginning with competitive Galarian Articuno.
Mm-hmm.
But now we get to try with Milotic and Empoleon.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different use cases, and Sam goes and highlights a bunch of them. You've got competitive Empoleon. You've also got competitive Milotic. You also have Defiant on Ogerpon. Ogerpon has Defiant on that. You could bring out a Corviknight and have Mirror Armor just bounce Intimidate back.
Double Intimidate them.
Yeah.
I love Sam. Sam's too smart for this game, man.
Right?
That sounds like a fun time.
It's a very fun time. And then Okidogi, interestingly, you can just run a bulk upset with Okidogi.
Get
just
plus up
its
right
attack,
away.
Up its defense. Just start drain punching everything. Heal yourself back up. Maybe give yourself a Citrus Berry. Maybe give yourself leftovers. Just run a tanky Okidogi, because when you're at +6, nothing else matters.
Who let Sam cook? Who let
take
this
away
man
this
in the
man's
yeah.
take away this man's utensils. Take away the pots, take away the pans. All right. And that's PokeSports for the week. Gosh, it's not PokeSports for the week. I thought it was.
We got questions.
Then I was like, no, we've definitely got people who interacted on the last one.
Our last Mike episode was so disappointed you interacted, everybody.
Man,
it's so sad.
Thank you. It's 1:30. Last episode was episode 184, Ogre Podcast.
Okay, wait, before you do this.
Yeah.
It's been a couple episodes. We have to play our game. What Pokemon is 184?
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much for doing this. Okay.
I don't even know.
So we're like 30-ish into the Johto decks.
What is 30-ish?
I feel
we're 33 like into the Johto decks, yeah.
We've got to, at this point, be into the evolutions of Gen 1 Pokemon.
I'm going to say Flaffy. That's my guess.
I think Flaffy was way earlier, and I think we also said it.
We did Flaffy already? Oh, no.
I think so. But maybe not. Maybe
I'm
not.
Gonna
well, I will
guesses.
Check.
I'm going to say Flaffy, Crobat. That's where I'm going.
Okay, because I think we're somewhere in that realm as well. Like Crobat, Steelix, Scizor, those
maybe
kind
Pseudo
of Pokemon.
Wudos? Maybe Pseudo Wudos? Are we
maybe
in the Pseudo Wudo yet?
I'm going to go with Scizor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So episode. Pokemon 148 is Dragonair, in case you're curious. No. Okay.
How close are you?
First of all, it's a Azumarill.
Okay.
I was at the very beginning, I wanted to be like, oh, it's probably like Meryl or Azumarill.
No way.
But at the same time, I was like, I feel like maybe that's earlier. Like maybe Meryl Azumarill's earlier, but no.
Pika Blue was, I guess, a little later. Look at that.
Yeah, Pika Blue came later. Wow. Okay, I don't want to spoil where 185 Scizor is, but...
Oh, wait, I guess we could play 185 too. That's today's episode, and Flaffy, I'm pretty sure Azumarill... We have no idea what's after Azumarill.
And you know what? Flaffy is number 180.
I wasn't far off.
You were not far off.
That means Ampharos is the one before Meryl, or is there a friend in between for some reason?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay, Crobat was 169, so I'll just cross that off of your list, because we've already passed it.
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Crobat would be 169.
Yeah, that was one of the Pokemon that came, like, weirdly early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably because Zubat also came weird. It was just in whatever the first base cave was.
I guess so.
Probably just had him smacked in there.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so 185, that's the current podcast.
What's after Ampharos? Okay.
What do you think after Azumarill would be?
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's Azumarill. Miltank.
Miltank. I'm going to go with yours. I'm going to say Sudowoodo.
Okay.
Yeah, Pokemon 185. I got it.
It
is Sudowoodo.
Hey, give this man a watering can.
That's incredible. I never would have expected that
I've never won anything in my life.
Yeah. But I'm sure yours is coming up. Whatever you just said, that's probably Miltank. Coming up. Miltank. That's got to be next, right?
That's got to be there. I mean, is Sudowoodo before or after Whitney? I think it's before. After?
Oh, yeah, before.
It's got to be one or the other. Whitney's second gym or third gym?
It's like right beside each other, because Whitney's like level 18-ish, right? And Sudowoodo, you get at level 20, something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. I want to look at Miltank number. 241. We'll be here a while.
I will never remember that when 241 happens. Don't worry, guys.
No, we're saying we'll this right there. Now. Yeah.
Won't know it.
Episode 241 is going to happen. We're going to be like, there's something special about this episode. Were we supposed to do something?
We're not going to play this game at all.
No, we will not remember until like 245. Okay. Some real quick Q&A, because we got to go. See if you can come up with a never mind. Oh man, we don't have to go anywhere, man. We're here for a while. I said, see if you can come up with a Pokemon riddle. Could be calculation based, could be lore based.
Answers this should have been the preach.
Should have been the preach. Okay.
Answers included, please. So that means that Mike is gonna ask me and I have to try my best.
I guess
and he will have the answers.
Okay. I lie in wait in ruins, yet I'm revered as a deity.
Unknown.
The battlefield roars as my scales dance.
Scales.
Mm-hmm.
The battlefield roars as my scales dance. I'm revered as a deity. It's not an unknown. Unknown has no scales. What has scales and what lives in ruins?
Focus more on the dance.
Volcarona.
Yeah, very good.
That has scales? Maybe.
That was by Aiden. Thank you, Aiden.
Thanks, Aiden. I'm a little bit questionable scales, but hey, you had to rhyme. I get it.
Here's one by Seabass McChops. Half of me is good, half of me is bad, and I am only fake when the pressure is on. My favorite door is a screen door, and I part like a gun. What am I?
Half of me is good, half of me is bad.
Okay, it's actually quite good.
When you said that, I thought Skull Villain.
Okay.
But then you start saying screen door, so that it's got to be a screen setter.
Okay.
It's Sableye?
No.
It's a Grimmsnarl.
Although I think Sableye could actually work in this situation as well. Yes, it is Grimmsnarl.
Oh, it's Grimmsnarl. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, actually, I think Sableye works in the same way. Similarly, it's Dark Fairy. Yeah. It has Fake Out. It doesn't have Parting Shot. I think that's what I Part Like a Gun is.
Oh, I didn't even, that didn't even click in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I was so focused on screen setting.
Let's see. Geekson says, I'm a creature of many types, with fiery breath and soaring flights. I'm a dragon, a lizard, a flying beast, a fierce companion, my trainer's feast. What?
Charizard?
Also, they didn't give an answer for this, so...
I'm gonna say Charizard.
You're gonna say Charizard. A creature of many types, fiery breath, soaring flights. Yeah, probably Charizard. I'm a dragon, a lizard, a flying beast. Yeah, Charizard, a fierce companion, my trainer's feast.
GG Ash. Charizard's lunch.
You got real hungry that one episode, man.
I'm gonna make a Showdown alt called Charizard's Lunch. If you see that on Showdown, it's me.
let's see. Some funny peek at you comments, of course. Dropped in my wallet. I have zero way of confirming this or not, but they say, which final Evo Mons got the biggest stat buff and nerf between Gen 1 and Gen 2?
Which stat final Evo Mons got the biggest stat buff and nerf?
Yeah.
Between 1 and 2.
So there were some big changes.
I think Scyther into Scizor is literally zero base stat changes.
No, so we're talking the final evolution in Gen 1 and the final evolution in Gen 2 are the same Pokemon.
Oh, they actually nerfed things in that
gen? There was a big nerf buff. There was a big balance between them.
And they left Arcanine the same? Okay.
You have no idea what Arcanine was in Gen 1, man. It might have been nasty bad.
Why is it still 555 stats when nothing else is? I have no idea. I not a clue. I am going to just pull something out and yeah, I'm going to say...
Pull a name of a Gen 1 Pokemon.
Mewtwo.
Very good. That is on the list. There was a 64 special defense nerf on Mewtwo between Gen 1 and Gen 2.
Hold up. Base?
So says dropped my wallet.
I'm gonna take his word for it because he has no reason to lie to me. So what is Mewtwo right now?
That's a very good question.
Oh, but we also have to consider that special defense didn't exist in Generation 1. It was just special.
Good. Yes. Yeah, so there was, yep, okay. With the introduction of special defense and special attack, really. Yeah, there were some discrepancies things. There.
Because I'm about to say, if this Mewtwo had 90 special defense now and it used to have 150, that's a problem. I agree. But yeah, no, they split it eventually. And I think that was in Generation 3 they did that.
And so that invalidates most of these because we've got all of these, actually. Because the Hitmons went from 35 to 110 special defense, probably because they had 35 special and went to 110 special defense. Chansey went down 70 points in its special for special attack.
Oh, so they added special defense in Generation 2?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now it all makes sense. I thought they did that in 3. But no, 3 is when they still had the special physical split in 3. They changed that in 4.
Right.
That was for type-based specialities or physicalities.
Mm. McGundam 1215 says, I was the first Pokemon made. I think that might be all that you need.
That's right on.
Yeah.
I knew that. Yeah.
The rest of them were increasingly easier. Electricity doesn't affect me. I have the ability Lightning Rod. Who am I? Rhydon. First programmed is statues in Red and Blue. This one's good. Grow big yet remain small. I have a bun yet have no food. When I play with you, I may not be with you. Who am I?
I grow big but remain small.
Mm-hmm.
Wishy-washy?
No. This is a new Pokemon.
Oh. Like Gen 9?
Yep.
Like the one we're in?
Yep.
I grow big but remain small. I have a bun. But I won't play with you.
I don't know why having a bun is necessary to play, but that is what is written.
What grows big but stays small? It's so hard. Someone's yelling at me right now. I can't even give you a guess. Like, if I had a guess to give you, I'd give it to you, but I don't have one.
This is Monkey Dory.
What?
And let's try and justify this.
When he eats the food, he grows big in the trailer. Oh, okay.
Right. He grows big in the game. He has a bun. It has no food. Is that a thing? Okay.
I should have paid more attention to the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can tell me.
When I play with you, I might not be with you. So that one, I think, relates to its Pokedex entry. Monkey Dory keeps itself somewhere safe while it toys with its foes, using psychokinesis to induce intense dizziness. Interesting.
He wants no friends.
I've got one more. Throughout Pokemon's history, many beloved crab and other crustaceous Pokemon have been introduced. However, only one Pokemon is classified as the hermit crab Pokemon. What is it? This is by Totes McRae.
It's got to be Dwebble, right?
No.
You're not going to tell me Dwebble ain't a hermit crab. Dwebble, Pokemon DB. Hold up. It's literally what it is. But apparently it's the rock in Pokemon, which is a hermit crab.
But you know why they couldn't call it the hermit crab Pokemon? Because there's something already a hermit crab Pokemon.
Something had to come before it.
Before, and I'll tell you.
Before Gen 4. No, wait.
No. And I'm not going to say it. And I'll tell you, it's not a hermit crab.
Don't tell me it's no, it can't be Krabby. Krabby has to be the crab Pokemon.
So probably.
It have to be after. And before
it's the
Gen
river crab
4.
Pokemon, Krabby. Kingler is the pincer Pokemon.
What is pincer?
The pincer. Pincer is the stag beetle Pokemon.
They really messed that one up, huh?
Yep. That's what I've been saying this for years. The description for the Pokemon are so very weird.
Okay. The hermit crab Pokemon.
That's right.
Can I look at a list of crab Pokemon? Will that help me?
It's not a crab.
What?
That's
you
the
mean?
Thing. It's not a crab.
What?
No.
Okay, so let me guess.
Yeah.
If it's not a crab, I'm going to take a wild guess in the dark.
Okay.
What is Feebas?
What is influenced by a crab? Or, dare I say, a clam?
Is it Cloyster?
No.
Okay.
Feebas is the fish Pokemon. Can I tell you that Feebas is the fish Pokemon?
Wait, what is Magikarp?
There's Goldeen? Goldeen is a goldfish.
Magikarp is also fish Pokemon.
Oh my gosh, there are two.
I mean, they are kind of the same thing, yeah.
That's nuts. Oh wow, Sandshrew and Pikachu are both the mouse Pokemon as well. So is Rattata, the mouse Pokemon.
Oh, Pikachu's the electric mouse Pokemon, right?
There are 26 mouse entries here on Bulbapedia.
Wait, back to the subject. What the heck is the hermit crab Pokemon if it's not Dwebble?
Do you want to know?
I guessed Feebas. I give up.
We need to end the podcast, man.
Yeah, what is it?
Don't let me know. Hostage like this. It's
Maractus.
I don't know how to tell you this. Do I have a drum roll? Oh, I do. Slow, bro.
There's no way. That is a salamander. It is literally a salamander.
Yeah, that's Slowbro. It is not the hermit crab at all.
What the hell is Slowking? The royal Pokemon?
The Go royal being... Pokemon.
Wow, it's literally... Okay, so Slowking is literally the king with the hermit brother. Oh, is this like Richard the sixth in Shakespeare? Sorry, I took Shakespeare in high school.
Huh? In what way? Explain to me why this is Richard the sixth.
I don't know. You had a brother that was kind of a loser trying to be king. Slowbro.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This is Richard the sixth. Fancy. Cool.
We did it.
Hey, go on over to the Patreon. We've got new stuff over there. Even if you don't get into the ranked tier, we've got plenty of other tiers for you.
Like the Preege
and the Liege. We are starting up the league again. I can't believe I'm mentioning this an hour into the podcast. Half of the people are already gone. But hey, go and check that out if you're so interested. And we'll see you on the next episode of PokeSports. I will have been New Yorked by the time you hear from me next. So enjoy the last little bit of niceness that I'll have as a Canadian.
Mike's going to be swearing up and down this podcast next week.
Not holding back!
I already told you. All right, I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
All right, bye-bye.